It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Hi, this is Debbie, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help you with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. And I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
Yeah, we can also send you samples, fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, no pressure, no hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Oh, okay, whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Back here in the morning shift in our 8 o'clock hour. It's brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. It's time for the wake-up call, and we presented to you the question of, would you or would you not be upset if the Falcons took a left tackle, say, out of Texas? We know that the team, Coach Raheem Morris, GM Terry Fontenot, according to Brian Davis, was at Kelvin Banks' private workout, and this was towards the end of last week in Austin. So you can give us a call, give us your thoughts, 404-726-0929. We'll go to the lines now, and let's start with Chief. Good morning, Chief.
What's happening, Chief? Hey, yeah. On a scale of 1 to 10, they do something like that, I'm going to go off. It's going to be 11, because that's crazy. But I mean, come on, man. What are we doing? Just stop. I got a wake-up call right quick for the NBA referees. I've been watching you guys the last couple of weeks. I'm going to the game tonight, the Hawks game. Please don't throw me out. Because it makes no sense. You're throwing players out left and right. No one comes to see you guys. Jordan Brooke gets thrown out of the game because he's tussling with Kevin Durant. That's ridiculous. My man Mann gets thrown out of the game the other night with the Hawks. For what? For no reason whatsoever. These officials, they don't win nuts. Yeah. That's all I got.
Yeah. Thanks, Chief.
Power tripping is what they are, Chief. They're power tripping.
Well, here's the other thing. Can we bring back the travel? I mean, can we bring...
Oh. Oh, when I asked for it a couple weeks ago,
you were talking about one specific play. I'm just talking about in general. Like, when's the last time y'all actually – I think I saw one in the Bama-Duke game. Hmm. Like, it feels like it's a non-existent call. Like, it feels like it doesn't even exist anymore. But how about Chief Sandy's at 11 out of 10 if they draft offense?
That's enraged is what he sounds
what are
like.
We doing here, guys? All right, I'm with you on that.
Let's see what Jay has to say. Good morning, Jay in Riverside.
Hey, how y'all doing? Thanks
Riverdale.
For taking my call.
Yeah, man. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hey, at this point, as a Falcon fan, hell, I won't even care no more. I mean, we always been asking for a defensive end for the last 5-6 years, and it's never happened. So I wouldn't even put it past us. So if we do bring one in, hopefully produce or whatever like that, but with the Falcons, hey, we never know.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that one, man. And here's what I really struggle with at times when news like this comes out. And I try to learn my lesson. I think you guys are the same way. You know, we had this 2 years ago where it was like, hey, you know, they went and worked out Bijan Robinson. And you're like, man, I can't imagine us taking a running back with all the other needs on this team. You still got Tyler Allgeier, just rushed for 1,000 yards. Like, seems like that's, you know, seems like that position's taken care of. Cordarrelle Patterson. And then last year we get the news that a contingent flew out to Washington to work out Michael Penix. And I kept going, no, it's not even like this. Like, I'm sitting there, and we're all, you know, looking at wide receivers that he might have worked out with and everything else going on. And so when you get news like this now, I think y'all would join me in saying this. I get a little more gun-shy about just dismissing it. I'm like, you can't just dismiss it anymore. It's not something you can just throw by the wayside and act like it didn't happen. That means that there is a real possibility that they would be looking at offense tackle in round one. Until more news comes out about an individual workout, that's where I'll be focused on. And I think a lot of Falcons fans would be upset about that.
I don't disagree with you on that. What you kind of just did there was outlined a pattern. And so you have no reason to believe that maybe they won't deviate from it.
They fall in love with guys, and when they fall in love with them, they draft them. So there's no, maybe they might have fell in love with Kelvin Banks in that private workout, you know, with who he is as a guy. And so they might, you know, and not only just a player, and that boom, they're in. I tell you what, I don't know. Y'all's guess is as good as mine at this point.
Do you think that there's any chance that they did the whole thing? Remember, who was it that went to dinner with Bijan a couple of years ago when Terry was in town? I want to say, was it TQ Graham that went, when they were in Austin, Texas, that went to dinner as part of that contingent with Bijan Robinson? I would be curious to know if Bijan was part of the contingent that was down there this year. If there was,
he might have been hanging out in his old stomping
ground. Hey, Bijan, you going to be in town? Do you want to fly down to Austin for a couple of days? We'll just, you know, we'll hit dinner. We'll go work out Kelvin Banks. You can say what's up to Sark and everybody else. So,
yeah, it could have depended on when he was, when they did the workout, because I think it was during the combine when Bijan and Kyle Pitts and a couple other guys were overseas. I can't remember exactly where, but dude, I know it's easy to say we'd be upset, but Kelvin Banks could be, I mean, he could be the future at tackle for this team if that was a guy that they liked. But see, here's the deal. Don't buy into too much, because they sent the entire front office, I mean, the entire building at Flowery Branch to Athens to see all those guys work out. They sent a plethora of people to Marshall to watch Mike Green work out. So they're doing their due diligence. They're sending a lot of people places.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we got a couple more callers jumping in on the line. Let's go to Sam in Palmetto. Good morning, Sam.
Hey, morning.
What's up, man?
Morning. Thanks for taking. Hey, look, I don't think it's that terrible of an idea. I mean, that's not the first place we need to start, but Jake Matthews is not getting any younger. Caleb McGarry hasn't gotten that much better. Mm. And look, I love Michael Penix. I was not upset about the pick, but as much as I love Penix, we cannot ignore his injury history. You know? So, I mean, any quarterback is only as good as the guys he has blocking for him. And, you know, again, I don't think I would not think that'd be our number one spot to look at, but I would not be totally upset if that's what happened. We got to keep the man healthy and upright.
Yeah.
Yes. You do have to keep Michael Penix healthy.
Yeah. Pause. I think we do.
We appreciate the call.
Great call. I think there's a lot to be said about what he's saying. I just think that something else is going to have to, some other domino is going to have to fall. If Kelvin Banks is the pick. Got to sign somebody else. You got to trade draft picks around. Like, I understand it when you look at it and say, well, Caleb McGarry has, you know, he's average to below average, whatever you want to say. All right. Thing is, he's been around for 5 years, going on 6 years. He's a guy that is serviceable. All right. And when I look at it from that aspect, we just have holes on defense, and you can't continue at a clip where you are 25th or worse in like every defensive category. You just can't. Doesn't matter how good our offense is. And I get it. Keep Michael Penix upright. I just, like I said, I'm not a 10 out of 10. I'm not all right. I'm with you, and I think you've kind of said this numerous times today. I'm never going to be in the boat that hates any kind of pick in the trenches. It's not. It's just not what I believe teams should be built on. But something, some other domino has to fall this offseason. And we've seen them do it in training camp before. Maybe that's when it happens. Some other domino would have to fall for me to absolutely actually like the pick, though.
And that's where I give, real quick, Tiff, that's where I give Terry credit. Is last year they did go get Michael Penix, and then they still got Braylon Trice, and then they still said, "Hey, we'll go and get Matthew Judon with a third round pick, trade him for a third round pick." It just didn't work out.
Back to the lines we go. Let's go to Kevin in Lawrenceville.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, man? Good morning. Good morning.
I actually don't mind the pick. Penix is left-handed, and I don't trust Caleb McGarry protecting his blind side for the rest of the year. We've invested so much in our offense, so I believe, you know, getting an offensive tackle, you know, might not be the worst idea if our the guys they really love in the for the defensive tackle or defensive edge are gone by then.
Yeah, it's a phenomenal point, and honestly, I don't, and I struggle with this at times. I'm not sure how much blindside actually means. Anymore. I don't think it means what it did 20 years ago, but I think it still means something.
And I think Penix is a guy that can move too. If Kirk Cousins was left-handed and that was still your future, then you have a right to be terrified. And everyone's saying that I understand completely. But I think that I'm not saying that he's, you know, Jaden Daniels. Or Lamar Jackson, but also he can move. You know,
yeah, he's not a statue.
And he
I actually thought he'd have more rushing yards in those last three games last year.
I don't think they're going to try to run him too much because of his injury history. But I do think he can move, and we've seen him do it in Indiana. Now he might have tore his knee doing it, but he made that play against Penn State. That was a phenomenal run again when he played for Indiana back in 2020.
It's the Kalen DeBoer conversation we had the day after the draft.
That's
it was
right.
Like, you know, Kalen's like, hey, we had to do that more at Indiana than we did at Washington. Washington, we had great wide receivers and a good offensive line. We just went out there and slung the pill around, and he was able to do both.
Let's see if we can get these last two callers in. We've got Dan in Decatur. Good morning, Dan.
Good morning, morning show family.
What's up, buddy?
What's going on? So, Mike, Bo, and Tiff. Tell me if I'm wrong. My concern, I think, is the uncertainty with the front office. And hear me out, right? I was talking with some of my coaches yesterday at our coaches' meeting. We were talking about the whole thing. We spent $100 million on a guy that we were uncertain about, right? And the only reason I say that is you spent $100 million to go get this guy as being quarterback, but then you draft a quarterback, first round, eighth pick. To me, that sounds like, we might be all right, but I'm looking at that from the standpoint of the situation that we're in now as far as money, how tight things are. Is Cousins going to leave at this time? Is somebody going to take on this contract? Are we going to have to eat it, you know, if we got to cut him and release him or whatever the case may be? I just feel like, dude, there's a lot of uncertainty in the front office. You spent $100 million. That's like me going to buy a house for $450,000 that I'm not even sure that I want. Or I'm not even sure that, hey, I want to be here for the next 10-plus years. It just does not make sense. It make sense. So
he signed a mortgage and moved into an apartment. I love that.
I mean, let's make it make sense for him. The Cousins thing was always going to be a 2-year deal, and you wanted him to prepare Michael Penix, and that would be the future. And then just in case something happened, if you know you did have him there. The other thing I thought you did a pretty good job with the contract. The $10 million bonus there's offset language in that where you won't have to pay that if you cut him and he goes somewhere else and makes, you know, anything he makes next year will recoup that. You have the automatic restructure clause in there, right? Where if you want to make moves at any point, you can restructure that, push money down the road, and you save cap space. The worst part about it was the no trade clause. Guys, you just didn't expect Kirk to forget how to play the position, because whether he says it or not, that's certainly what it looked like last year.
Yeah.
And it became a debacle.
Yeah. By the way, ding. It's brought to you by Buffalo's Cafe. Come wing it family style, one of Buffalo's Cafe's 13 Atlanta locations.
All right. When we come back here on the morning shift, can the Braves salvage what's been a Woof. Rough start to the season. We will discuss next when we return here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. That's why Dollar Shave Club makes the razors, but you make the rules. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Dollar Shave Club products are now available everywhere. Or visit their site right now for 20% off $20 or more and get your products delivered right to your door. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/shaveup and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. And remember, whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Back here on the Morning Shift, and there's been a whole, I guess, flurry of bad news for the Braves, from starting out the season in a hole to continuing to dig that hole, losing to the Dodgers 6-1 last night. The other news that came out yesterday was that their offseason acquisition, Yerkson Profar, he received an 80-game ban for PED violation, which has already began, and he will not be paid during this time, and he also will not be eligible during the postseason.
Yeah, there is one. He took chorionic gonadotropin.
Sure. That's why I said PED. Yeah.
The old wordsmith that is.
It was a hormone, Tiff, that helps produce testosterone. Now, that's not a big word. That's a ridiculous word. I think one thing I saw for it was HCG. But it's the same thing Manny Ramirez got popped 4 years ago. I'm so frustrated and depressed over this. Like, I mean, everything that can go wrong with the start of the season has, and I'm just looking for a bright spot in a rainy day, you know? Like,
one of my friends texted me yesterday and they said, man, it's the worst case scenario for the start of the break. And I was like, be careful, be very careful saying this is the worst case scenario,
but it feels like it right now. It does.
It definitely could be worse. But yes, I understand what you're saying. No, I'm with you. Like, it's today's a hard day. You got three pieces of news yesterday. If you include the loss, the suspension, the Ronaldo Lopez news,
yeah,
and it, like that.
My favorite. You know, my favorite reaction to it was, do you know he can't play in the postseason this year? And I'm like,
I just read that, but I knew what you were going to say. That's why I said, if there even is one.
Yeah. Do you? But you know, I'm just talking about, that's the responses that I got. That I was reading through text messages I was getting yesterday when this happened. And I'm like, dude, we got to get to the postseason. I mean, all is well. Okay. You got Chris Sale on the mound tonight. All is well. Marcell Ozuna is going to go yickety tonight. And I predict that Austin Riley will be on base and the Braves win 2-1.
The look on your face of scratching and clawing to pick who was going to be on base.
You know,
this is going to do it.
Do you know Raisel Iglesias pitched last night?
Yes.
Do you know why he pitched?
Because he hasn't had any save opportunities.
Yeah.
It's like all you can do is commiserate. Like, that's all you can do at this point.
All is well. Keep the faith.
Yeah.
You know, this is where people always tell me, they get mad at me with the foul. Oh, you're just too positive. You're not hard enough on them. Well, sure, but I'm also not overly hard on the Braves either. And I'm not, because I know that they have been a great organization for a long time. And they've done a good job of kind of staying out of things like this, where they haven't been bitten by the PED suspensions. But
that's actually a good point.
They're an organization too that you guys want to blame Alex, and Alex is doing what he can do. Alex Anthopoulos, it is what he can do with what he's able to spend. And Profar, the signing looked like a great deal. Guy coming off career year, you got to kind of got him for a bargain. What, 3 or 4 years, $80 million.
Yeah.
Good on base percentage. Well, this definitely taints it a little bit. Yeah. I would say that. This makes it, this dampens the outlook on it.
What did we just sign on to?
But I think Tiffany told us earlier that they can recoup some of the salary, or they get a break from some of it.
It's about $6 million, from my understanding.
So, but this is not why they signed Verdugo. To me, this is why they got Fairchild. I do not believe they knew this before.
I just want to know the timeline. Well, I tend to agree with you, but I would love to know how long they've known about this.
I would say this. This is, look, no conspiracy theorists. I'm not going to be conspiracy theorist squid on this one. When they found out was when they started making calls, and then shortly thereafter, Stuart Fairchild was acquired by this team. I think that's when they found out. That's my belief.
Okay, let me just...
That doesn't mean he wasn't tested in spring training.
I agree.
They just didn't get
okay,
it back.
My question would be, he said this happened this offseason. That was his exact quote. At what? Like, how long, if you're the league and you know about this, were you going to wait to tell the Braves and just
remember,
kick them while they're down here?
And you know this. Remember, and I think Dylan, get to Googling. Because, or Bingen, whichever one you want to do. But I'm pretty positive that when they do these tests, they take two samples and they run one through. And if it gets flagged, they run another one through. And they almost like cross referencing or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And so that could take a little bit of time. And then they have to notify the Players Association. Notify the team, notify the player, and to be frank, there's no appeal. So does that mean he already appealed?
That's my biggest question.
So,
because that would make the timeline make more sense to me. If they found out when they, 2 weeks ago, before the Verdugo move.
March 20th when they signed him.
Right, there you go. And so what is that, 10, 11, 12 days ago? That would make more sense to me. Is there an appeal? Yes, went through appeal process, whatever. I don't know this, and you maybe you do. Maybe they only test the B sample when there is an appeal. Maybe that's what the appeal is. Maybe the B sample is to go back and say, oh, well, let's check the levels on this one.
I gotta think that they do, that they go ahead and test it once it comes up positive, they want to make sure. But again, I'm not 1,000% on this. It's, this would have been a great day to have Grant, because he might have had more information on it. But I don't know. I just know that it's not what you expected, and this organization will commit everything they can, I know, to salvaging this season. And I say salvaging it. We're five games in.
I mean,
but so, that's the reality of what 0-5 is, Tiff.
So who steps up now?
You got right now you got to hope it's Chris Sale. Right, and that's what you have an ace for. That's why you call a guy a stopper. because he can hopefully stop the bleeding and he can get back out there and he can shut down the Dodgers lineup tonight, which is just ridiculous. You thought San Diego's lineup was tough. The Dodgers lineup's just ridiculous. But if Chris Sale can go out there and pitch seven innings tonight and be efficient and not have the big first inning the way he did last Thursday, and actually make it to where you don't have the, you know, have the bullpen piece together four innings. We didn't even talk about the fact that Hector Neris is not a part of this team anymore.
Yeah, we had Chavez last night.
Yeah, Chavez gets the pitch last night, gives up a tater. So hopefully Chris Sale can be the stopper that you need, be the ace that you need, and go out there and stop the bleeding. I don't have any faith that Atlanta's going to score a run, though.
That's such a great point. You got Sale tonight. Sale will come in. He'll give you 6 to 7 innings. He'll maybe one run. And then you got Ronaldo Lopez tomorrow night, right?
No.
Oh, wait.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. More great news.
So he's been he goes on the 15-day injured list with a right shoulder injury.
It is backdated. That's very important.
It is backdated to March 29th.
That's right, which means, you know.
Yeah, evidently this flared up in his bullpen session, his side session.
Dude, remember those offseason calls with San Diego where there was rumors that Dylan Cease and with the Padres and the Braves were talking about Dylan Cease? If I'm Alex. So, what'd you want for Dylan Cease?
we talk about thrift shopping for the Falcons. The Braves are in the same boat. Like they're thrift shopping. This is not top of the line Mets. You know, whatever, whoever it is, Dodgers, Yankees, even the Padres at times, whatever, whoever else you want to throw out there. That's not what's happening. This is more of like the DIY shows where they're in like a small town, Mississippi, and they're going, you know, to see if they can find a bargain at one of the thrift shops and, you know, turn like a door into a table. That's what they're doing.
Or maybe you're going to rebuild a car, but instead of buying all the parts off of the OEM website, you go to the salvage yard.
You go to a U-Bullet.
Have you ever done that?
Yeah, I've been to a U-Bullet, man.
Dude, I've walked many salvage yards with my dad looking because we were redoing he was redoing a Mustang for my sister.
Need a headrest, a visor.
Someone left a flathead screwdriver in the back seat.
to my point, that's what the Braves are doing. This is not a situation where you're going to go to the dealership. You're going to go to the U-Bullet and you're going to try to piece something together that runs. And, you know, see if you can fire off that hoopty for a little bit longer.
Or when you go to Amazon, you're like, man, I really want the new one, but I'll get the refurbished one. Yeah.
And then you go on the five-month payment plan.
Yeah, get that refurbished. Hey, I'm going to do that right now. There's no shame in that.
I'm going to kick the can down the road and go to that five-month payment plan.
That's what the Falcons will do if they restructure, Kurt's trying to.
Yes.
Kurt's going to kick a couple years down the road.
Yes.
We'll pay that $200 next week.
Oh, man. We're going to turn a door into a table.
Just real quick,
call it a table.
From what I found from my extensive research, it seems like, to Bo's point earlier, that you only really get tested once. It doesn't look that you get really a second try. So from what I read from the MLB's drug policy.
Yeah, they take two samples of it.
They take two samples from each test. That's the question.
Yes.
When do they test the B sample is the question. And it's honestly, I don't know that we'll know the answer. I don't know what else you would appeal if you're not appealing for the B sample to be tested. Are you appealing like how that you ate something that you accidentally ingested it? I don't know. But other than that, I don't know why you would even have an appeal if there is an appeal.
Well, if you were going by the U.S. Anti-Doping Agency.
USADA.
Which I don't believe, I'm not sure Major League Baseball does. But that occurs within 10 days after the athlete's request that their B sample is analyzed. So each player shall be tested upon reporting to spring training. So that's when the test happened.
Yeah.
For a ProFar. But I don't know about the B sample for Major League Baseball yet.
What if the 10 days lined up perfectly with the Alex Verdugo signing? And you, on that day, you found out, you signed Verdugo, and you said, all right, test the B sample just to see.
Yeah.
That would make a lot of sense.
Boy, there's a lot here. In the
All right, well, while you process that information, I'm going to go to break here because we have an interview coming up with two-time NASCAR champion and Daytona 500 champion and driver of the number 3 Chevy, Austin Dillon, joining us on the show. So we'll be right back here on the morning shift on Sports Radio 99 The Game.
And here it comes with the number 3, 20 years ago, 20 years of trying for Earnhardt. He won the Daytona 500. Austin Dillon wins the 60th running of the Great American Race.
We are back here on the morning shift, and soon we'll be going to the WadeFor.com hotline. We do have Austin Dillon, who will be joining us in just a little bit. But
go ahead, Tiff.
I forgot what I was going to say. So
I was going to ask if you guys saw the news that Trae Young has joined Oklahoma's athletic department in assistant GM role. I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, I was wondering how I didn't play the interview that he did with Malika Andrews on ESPN. But I was trying to figure out how you would balance that or in what capacity. I know he's making a huge donation to a school there to try to help them out too.
Yeah, I think it came with $1 million donation from him. Yeah. Hey, give us $1 million and we'll send you a bunch of stuff that you have to do. No, I think it's more of a recruiting tactic.
Yes.
I would guess when it comes to Trae Young, and I think it's really cool. And honestly, the first thing that popped in my head was I would love to know who, you know, Bama football can add in this capacity to be somewhat of a recruiter. You know what I mean? Like, can Bama make Derrick Henry the assistant GM of their football position? You know what I mean?
And
just see if he can donate, $1 million to help out that cause, because that'd be great.
So what he's going to do, and I was just reading this, is he will assist with the evaluation of high school and transfer portal prospects, help negotiate player contracts, and guide players in building their brands. And he talked a lot about just the rich history of the program and just being able to contribute to a place that he loved playing at when he was there.
Brand building. That's something he knows all about that, right?
Sure. I mean, he's got a brand. I think introducing players to people that, you know, have money that can be sponsors and help them make money while being endorsers at the same time. That's probably something he can help with. I'm sure his dad can help. You know, his dad has been a big help to Trae in his career. So
yeah. I'm all about it, man. I think it's cool. I think it's cool. And I hope this continues. Just as a former athlete, I hope this continues into the next chapter at all the universities, because I think it's ambassador, GM, whatever you want to call it. I think it's a cool role for some of these guys to go back where they're so well known and can make an impact on these younger guys.
It is pretty cool. All right, right now let's go straight to the WadeFor.com hotline. That is where we find two-time NASCAR champion, Daytona 500 champion, and driver of the number 3 Chevy car, Austin Dillon, join us here on the morning shift. Good morning.
Morning. How's everybody?
I don't know. We'll get to how we're feeling with the Braves in a minute, Austin. I want to do some good stuff first. I'm very downtrodden this morning. All right, I'm not gonna lie.
Oh yeah.
But we've had some bad news the last 24 hours with our Braves. But hey, you guys have had pretty good speed the last I'd say even maybe 3 to 4 weeks going back past Las Vegas. I know you enjoy Homestead and Martinsville. Martinsville, that paperclip's so tough.
Man, we were doing really well at Martinsville, and I screwed up a little bit. Go figure. I got on pit road. We were running about 10th or 11th, and in the pit stall, I went to leave and didn't have any gear and ripped first gear out of the car. So that set us back. We had to go to the back of the field, drove back up to about 13th, and then we started having a little bit of a braking issue. Was able to bring it home 18th. Probably should have got tires there that last caution. We were kind of reeling at that point, but I was really happy with the car because we were able to pass and move up through the field. Thought we were going to have a pretty solid top 10 day, but when you come from the back to the front two times, you pretty much have to wear your stuff out doing it. And but I'm excited to go back to Martinsville because it's been a good track for us. Finished 6th in the fall race last year, and I felt like we were going to have that same day. Just missed it a little bit, but I'm really pleased with RCR and our cars. Homestead, Vegas, some of the best mile and a half stuff we brought to the track in a couple years. Haven't quite got the best finishes from those races, but I know I've got to have been in the top 5 of passing cars. We've passed a lot of cars the last 3 weeks.
Austin, like Bo said, we're downtrodden as Braves fans today. I do want to bring up, and I'm not trying to, bait you in anything, but the Martinsville Xfinity race on Saturday has made a lot of headlines this week. It's been in the New York Times. It's been all over. A lot of people talking about what can be done with the Xfinity series. And just to bring our audience into it that may not be aware of it, a lot of just people, driving recklessly, moving guys out of the way, doing things that owners, fans, TV companies don't exactly like. It's not a clean brand of racing. You've been on record, though, in the past of kind of highlighting how important it is to go out and win races and do whatever you need to do. What are your thoughts right now on the finish of the Xfinity Series at Martinsville? Because it's a place that you're known for beating and banging, but it seemed like it got over the top on Saturday.
Yeah, no, I think the big thing there that you take away is, for me, first of all, if you're going to make a move like that, you got to win the race from whatever position you do it from. Secondly, you know, the series itself has seen a big change over the years where you used to, when I was in Xfinity Series in 2012-13, half the field was made up of Cup drivers. So if you go and you ran third to fourth in the Xfinity race, you're running against the Cup field. So the measuring stick of where you exist or where you're at in your progression is pretty easy to see. Like, okay, this guy can compete with some of the top guys. Plus the cars were the same in the Cup and the Xfinity Series. They're just different horsepower. Now you've kind of canceled the ability for Cup guys to go run on Saturdays and, you know, you can get five a year, but they're all spread out, kind of pick and choose when people do it. Back in the day, there was Cup guys running the full Xfinity Series, and you could really kind of measure yourself off of the competition and know what you where you were. Now it's a bunch of guys fighting to get to the next level, but you really don't know where you're stacking up because you're not racing against the guys at the next level. So the tension is high in the garage because they see the aggressiveness of the way they need to be, but they're not quite experienced enough to have that kind of aggression, or didn't have a good group of guys to learn from or talk to about, you know, how you get to in the races. Now, NASCAR has itself bred a little bit of this into the field with the way the competition exists now. You know, you've got to win to get in the playoffs. You've got to win to be relevant, really. You can't have a solid season and get to Phoenix. I mean, you could win the championship that way, but it just hasn't played out where it's just a points battle throughout the year. The points matter, but, you know, winning is what's emphasized. So when it gets to the end of these laps, when a guy could finish second and be happy with his day, it doesn't mean the same as winning. So, yeah, I think NASCAR has bred a little bit of this. I think the move to take away Cup guys from the Xfinity field has also done some of that. But then you can turn around and say NASCAR's gotten a product that's getting exposure in these newspapers, and people are questioning it. But, I mean, the 50% that don't like the way it's going, there's 50% that love the entertainment value of what the sport's bringing. Xfinity Series is getting a lot of highlight this week. And, you know, I don't really fault these guys because nobody's really in their shoes. You know, some of them are egregious moves, 100%. The move that was made at the end of the race.
Let me stop you right there. What can be done about it? How can you police something like this?
Well, I mean, if the guy's got in his mind that he can do it, then, you know, he's going to do it one way or the other. The only thing I think, you know, from NASCAR standpoint is you can start penalizing guys and, you know, calling balls and strikes more. Because then you can go to the ownership or your team and say, hey, you know, at the end of the race, your owners, you know, to me, the one thing they care about is winning, right? So if you get it done in the end, you know, it's good for them, good for the partners. It's a big game changer, but you know, I think that NASCAR has to show some boundaries if you want it to change. If they really want it to change, I guess is the biggest thing.
All right, Austin.
What you can and can't do.
Austin Dillon joining us, driver number three car. Didn't mean to cut you off there. All right, let's talk about these Braves. Our Braves, Austin. First off, it's not a great start, but then the Yurickson Profar news comes down, and I bet you probably were leaving the RCR building or maybe the sim, and you look down and you go, wait, what? I mean, suspended 80 games for performance-enhancing drugs.
Yeah. No, I mean, I was hoping that signing would be a quality signing for us. Obviously, he had a great great year last year. But unfortunately, it didn't work out so far. We'll see what happens on the other side of it. But yeah, it's a bummer for the Braves faithful, and just some moves you make don't work out, I guess, is the biggest thing I take from it.
Yeah. And I'm curious from your aspect, obviously, you know, competing at a high level, you have your ups and downs. The Braves offense, obviously in a massive slump as a team right now. It went 28 innings without scoring a run over the weekend and into last night. Just from your perspective, what can be done to kind of shake loose from a slump like that? And, you know, I know that it happens in NASCAR, it happens in baseball. Guys do, you know, have meetings and players-only meetings. I don't know what that looks like on your end, but what do you think can be done for a team like that?
You got to go back to the basics. You got to start from the beginning and rely on technique and then energy. You know, you got to build some energy from within and get some momentum rolling. You can't just snap your fingers and make it happen, right? Like, you have to start from the beginning, start slow and one base at a time, I would assume. You know, try and get some base hits and manufacture runs and then work your way into it. You know, the Braves are been historically a home run hitting team, and you know, it's probably feast or famine right now, and we're on the famine part of it, and hopefully that eventually that hot streak gets going and we can get on a run. It's not like we started off the year with two teams that aren't playoff contenders. You know, that's another part of this. I mean, they're both solid teams. The Braves were looked at as one of those teams as well, and we just got to get hot at the right time and create some energy, right, in that locker room to get everybody going and create that momentum forward.
That's absolutely right, Austin. Create that energy and get some momentum. Hey, real quick, I got about a minute left. How excited are you for Darlington? I know it's all when we do the iRacing in the sim, it's so hard because that wall will reach out and grab you.
Yeah, Darlington's it's a fun track, man. I'm really happy with these stretch races that we have here the next 2 weeks, Bristol and Darlington. Places we can go capitalize on. We need to get the top 10 in there, man. We've gotten the speed to do it. We just haven't quite got there. So this is a good race in the past historically for us, and we'll go out there. And one at a time, man, you really are racing the track at Darlington. You can't get into a battle with another guy because you'll find yourself in the fence. The lady in black will bite you. We'll try and save our tires and make our way up through the field, get up by the fence and rip the wall a little bit and see what we got.
Good luck, brother.
Yeah, appreciate you, man.
Thank you, guys. See you in a week or so.
All right, sounds good. Hopefully we got some wins from the Braves by then, and hopefully maybe you got one,
maybe
too.
A win for the three.
Yeah, appreciate it.
That's
Austin
right,
Dillon.
That's right.
Thanks, man. We appreciate you. Austin Dillon, driver number three car for Richard Childress Racing there in NASCAR.
All right, everyone. That's going to do it for us here on the morning shift. We will be back tomorrow, but up next is the Steakhouse here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Have a great day.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. It's March, so Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this year. There's just nothing like betting in March. Breakdowns of every region and every game. From conference tournaments to the Final Horn, we'll have the picks and the plays on every single game. Cinderella spotlights, upset alerts, and some of that value for the last team standing. It's tourney time, so hunker down and bet the board with us. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket in the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.